Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, and this is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here with you, live here in the Kia studios with a whole lot to get to today. A lot, maybe like a 53-man roster to talk about. You guys made some predictions yesterday of what the Falcons would do, who would end up shaping out this group. And, you guys did okay. You did all right.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. You guys did okay.
You don't be so hard on yourselves.
Yeah, I feel like I missed on a few I don't want to say shocked, but there were surprises. I mean, we'll start right off the bat. If I didn't expect them to keep three quarterbacks, I didn't.
Wait, can I say that, you know, I thought it was a good idea?
You did say it was a good idea.
Okay.
I just didn't agree with you. But
still don't. Actually.
But
still don't.
To the point, though, is I didn't think your reasoning was off in any way, shape, or form. I understood your reasoning, and I thought it was logical. The problem for me, Mike, was that you had a log jam at a couple positions that I would have robbed the quarterback, the third quarterback spot from. That's what I would have said, you know what? I'll take my chances. I'll put an extra DB or an extra wide receiver on this roster instead.
Yeah, I did. Well, and let's just start off with the quarterback situation, because we've already pointed the ship in that direction. I am still shocked in a lot of ways that Taylor Heinicke is on this initial 53, and it's not that I don't think that Taylor's a good player, but I think when you look at certain reasons that people are kept on a roster – first of all, I think you look around the NFL and say, well, nobody can replace this guy. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. Or you always look at the preseason stats and you go, man, they played their way onto this roster. Well, that's not really true either. Contract situation, there's a little bit of dead cap space, but not a ton, not enough to make you make the decision to keep a roster spot. And, you know, look, it's not like you don't have depth at that position at this point. Not that you don't think you'll need some long-term, but you just look at some of the other situations, some of the other names that are floating around. There are a number of veteran quarterbacks that were let go. So there's like four reasons that I could point to and say, this is surprising to me. But in the end, they valued what his input was in that room, and nobody in our seats right now is sitting in that room with the quarterback. So,
well,
the only thing I can think to add is that you have a backup quarterback that has experience with this team for a couple seasons now. So I think that's a bonus, at least if you're going to keep three. You've got a guy that's familiar, even though new coaching staff, he's still familiar, with this team.
I agree with you, Tiff, and I think it's a great point, but it is a new offense, right? And it's all 11 personnel, and you know, we're going to continue to talk about the jump in 11 personnel that you'll see with this team and this offense, and it's just not the same scheme. It's not even remotely the same. And so I have a number of questions, man.
Well,
okay. I'm still not sure they won't try to move him at some point.
That's what I was about to ask you. Knowing what we know about how rosters work and how fluid a situation it can be for a guy and honestly the 53rd spot on there or anywhere in the bottom tier, is there how big are the chances that he is at some point cut in the next week before the season starts to add a person that maybe you didn't think would be out there or traded for a person you didn't think would be available or traded for a draft pick and then or just cut outright to get another player, like I said in the original, and then because of how everyone's kind of already solidified their second and third string quarterbacks, you're able to kind of stash him on the practice squad for another week.
Yeah, well, let me throw that right back at both of y'all. and ask this question. If you were going to move Taylor Heinicke, what position would you be moving him for and at what price? And I think that's the question. I don't know that it's do you want to move Taylor Heinicke or could you move him? I think there'd be suitors, and I think you could pull the trigger on that. I think when you look at the flip side and ask yourself what position are you trading for or what position are you, you know, cutting for or whatever else it might be, I don't know the answer to that. And I think that there was a number of DBs that you and I thought would be on the roster that are not. Seems like if they wanted to go that direction, they could have. But I just don't know. I don't know what the end game would be if you do want to move on from him at this point, because I look around, you obviously feel good about your depth in the secondary, and you feel good about your depth up front and at linebacker. So unless there's a receiver around defense, there, right?
That's what I was going to say. It would have to be on the offensive side of the ball, and if you're going to pick a position, it would definitely be the receiver position. You won at six anyway yesterday, right?
Yeah, I did, Tiff. I thought Chris Blair won the. I thought one if there was going to have six, I thought he had won that. I think it's wide receiver unless there's a tight end that you just think that is, hey, look at that guy. That guy can come in and help me because he's better than Ross Dwelly, who made the team. And I'm not sure that there's a guy out there. I'm just saying to me that would be. I mean, Irv Smith's out there. Maybe Irv Smith's a guy that tickles your fancy if you're one of the front office guys. But, yeah, a receiver, because I think there's some teams that have some good receivers that maybe didn't make their roster or maybe they put on their roster just for this situation. So, to me, receiver.
To you would be receiver as well. Okay, how would you grade yourselves yesterday, if we can go back to that? Do you want me to run through who we have on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, we can start, Tiff, we can start with some of these offensive positions because I think there's a couple we missed on that we can probably highlight.
I think
we could.
So running back position was something we talked about yesterday. I know you guys had a lot to say about Jace McClellan, who is on the roster. So you have Bijan, Tyler Algier, Avery Williams, and Jace McClellan.
Yeah, I think the question was always going to be, do you keep three or four? And I was of the thought, and I know Mark Raimondi was yesterday, whose roster we read, Jace McClellan was going to get the edge in that fourth running back spot if they were going to keep one, because he is a draft pick and because there's some recency bias there in terms of other teams scouting him and can you sneak him through. And so I think that's kind of what it came down to me. I don't know that Jace, and look, I'm a massive Jace fan from his time in Alabama. I don't know that he showed something in preseason that leads you to believe, boy, we have to have him on the roster. But nonetheless, I think he can grow and develop in that role. I don't think Avery Williams is your first running back in, Bo, if you're going to go to a third running back, and therefore Jace McClellan kind of falls in that spot.
Well, I think you're right about the first part, and I would say I'm not sure if Jace McClellan would be active on game day next Sunday. Now, the one thing I think he has going for him is the fact that you only kept five receivers, and you only kept, I think, five cornerbacks and four safeties. So you got to have guys that can do what those positions, similar to those positions, to play special teams. So in that spot, I think Jace McClellan could be active after I've talked myself out of it initially and back into it.
Now you're back in.
Pivot. Yeah. Pivot.
But to that point, that to
you
me.
You said self?
Listen to yourself. But yeah, I think that's all act. I think that's all accurate. And then there's how many offensive linemen are you going to carry on game day? Defensive linemen. Go ahead. I know you want to get the offensive linemen.
I did for Mike's sake here, and this looks a little different than what Raimondi had on his list, and then also kind of what you guys were talking about yesterday. Of course, Chris Lindstrom, Jake Matthews, Drew Dahlman, Caleb McGarry, Matthew Bergeron, Storm Norton, Ryan Neuzel, Kyle Hinton, and Javon Gwynn.
It's the ninth name, right? I mean,
so
Javon Gwynn was kind of that guy that you wondered. And let's just say this. I do think Javon Gwynn brings some flexibility. I think if you wanted to go with seven game day spots for the offensive line, Javon Gwynn gives you the ability to obviously play center and play guard. I don't know that you want that. I don't know that you'd obviously rather have Ryan Neuzel in that situation. But Javon Gwynn makes this roster – and I think he just gives you flexibility up front that you don't have with anybody else. Kyle Hinton's not going to play center.
Well, I think Ryan
Neuzel's not going to play guard.
I actually staunchly disagree there. I think Ryan Neuzel is your swing interior player. We've seen him fill in. Look, whether he did it great or not is one thing, but we've seen him fill in at guard before. To me, Ryan Neuzel is your swing interior player, and Storm Norton is your swing tackle. And those are the two that I would be expect to be active. I think Javon Gwynn's the last guy off the last offensive lineman that would be active, in all honesty. And I think Kyle Hinton is behind him. I think Neusel and Norton are your 1A, 1B as far as if you're going to have seven active. That's my thought, just based on what I've seen in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I just don't know that he showed enough specifically at any one position to say, man, we got to keep him around. They don't have a ton of draft capital invested in him.
He showed a lot more to me than Javon Gwynn. He was
That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, okay,
I'm talking about. So if he's not available as being a possible interior swing guy, then I'm like, I don't know.
But you're happy with nine, because nine was the number you said you would have liked to have seen, I believe.
I think it's important. I think it's important to have nine quality guys. Who those nine are, I think, kind of gets up for grabs. I think there was a number. I mean, I thought Stuber played well during preseason, and yet he found himself cut yesterday. So I think there's a lot of questions to be asked there. There's not a guard tackle flex in this group. There's not a guy that you think can play guard and tackle. You got your interior guys in Storm Norton. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out.
All right, when we come back, we'll break down the other side of the ball. Yes, defense. Stay with us here. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. This is The Morning Shift. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.